Turn with me in your Bibles, please, to 2 Chronicles chapter 9. Second Chronicles chapter 9, verse 1. Hear now the inerrant, infallible, and inspired Word of God. And when the queen of Sheba heard of the fame of Solomon, she came to prove Solomon with hard questions at Jerusalem with a very great company and camels that bear spices and gold in abundance and precious stones. And when she was come to Solomon, she communed with him of all that was in her heart. And Solomon told her all her questions. And there was nothing hid from Solomon which he told her not. And when the queen of Sheba had seen the wisdom of Solomon, and the house that he had built, and the meat of his table, and the sitting of his servants, and the attendance of his ministers, and their apparel, his cupbearers also and their apparel, and his ascent by which he went up into the house of the Lord, there was no more spirit in her. And she said to the king, "It was a true report which I heard in mine own land of thine acts and of thy wisdom. Howbeit, I believed not their words till I came, and mine eyes had seen it. And behold, the one half of the greatness of thy wisdom was not told me, for thou exceedest the fame that I heard. Happy are thy men, and happy are these thy servants which stand continually before thee and hear thy wisdom. Blessed be the Lord thy God, which delighteth in thee to set thee on his throne to be king for the Lord thy God, because thy God loved Israel to establish them forever. Therefore made he thee king over them to do judgment and justice." And she gave the king 120 talents of gold, and of spices great abundance, and precious stones. Neither was there any such spice as the queen of Sheba gave King Solomon. And the servants also of Huram, the servants of Solomon, which brought gold from Ophir, brought algum trees and precious stones. And the king made of the algum trees terraces to the house of the Lord, and to the king's palace and harps, psalteries for singers. And there were none such seen before in the land of Judah. And King Solomon gave to the queen of Sheba all her desire, whatsoever she asked, beside that which she had brought unto the king. So she turned and went away to her own land, she and her servants. Now the weight of the gold that came to Solomon in 1 year was 603 talents of gold, beside that which chapmen and merchants brought. And all the kings of Arabia and governors of the country brought gold and silver to Solomon. And King Solomon made 200 targets of beaten gold. 600 shekels of beaten gold went into one target. And 300 shields made he of beaten gold. 300 shekels of gold went to one shield. And the king put them in the house of the forest of Lebanon. Moreover, the king made a great throne of ivory and overlaid it with pure gold. And there were 6 steps to the throne with a footstool of gold, which were fastened to the throne, and stays on each side of the sitting place, and 2 lions standing by the stays, and 12 lions stood there on one side, and on the other 6 steps. There was not the like made in any kingdom. And all the drinking vessels of King Solomon were of gold, and all the vessels of the house of the forest of Lebanon were of pure gold. None were of silver. It was not anything accounted of in the days of Solomon. For the king's ships went to Tarshish with the servants of Huram. Every 3 years once came the ships of Tarshish, bringing gold and silver, ivory and apes and peacocks. And King Solomon passed all the kings of the earth in riches and wisdom. And all the kings of the earth sought the presence of Solomon to hear his wisdom that God had put in his heart. And they brought every man his presents, vessels of silver and vessels of gold and raiment, harness and spices, horses and mules at a rate year by year. And Solomon had 4,000 stalls for horses and chariots and 12,000 horsemen whom he bestowed in the chariot cities with the king at Jerusalem. And he reigned over all the kings from the river even unto the land of the Philistines and to the border of Egypt. And the king made silver in Jerusalem as stones. And cedar trees made he as the sycamore trees that are in the low plains in abundance. And they brought unto Solomon horses out of Egypt and out of all lands. Now the rest of the acts of Solomon, first and last, are they not written in the book of Nathan the prophet, and in the prophecy of Ahijah the Shilonite, and in the visions of Iddo the seer against Jeroboam the son of Nebat? And Solomon reigned in Jerusalem over all Israel 40 years. And Solomon slept with his fathers, and he was buried in the city of David his father, and Rehoboam his son reigned in his stead. May God add His blessing to the reading and to the hearing of His most holy word. That's a great chapter. And I'm already out of time. That's too bad, because there's so many good things to be said about this chapter. Let's start by the thesis. Let's take the broad theme. Solomon is here a type of Christ. And as a type of Christ, then it is fitting that he should be the wisest and the richest and the most sought after king of any other king that ever lived. Solomon lived in a privileged position because his kingdom was to be an earthly type of the heavenly kingdom of Messiah. And so we have people from all over the world coming to him for advice. Do you know what I'm going to say next? You should. Because people from every kindred, tribe, tongue, and nation come to Christ. He is not just the God of the Jews. He is not the Messiah of the Jews only. He is the Messiah for all nations. You remember what he said when he scourged and cleaned out the temple that day? My house shall be a house of prayer for all people. All people. And so in testimony to that, Solomon, the type of Christ, is sought out by all the kings of the earth, by all the great ones of the earth to come to hear his wisdom, to see his riches, to behold his glory. That's King Solomon, but really, it's Christ. And so that's the thesis of the chapter. So why is it that God made Solomon so rich? Why is it that God made Solomon so wise? Because he was to set forth in a tangible type before our eyes the greatness of Christ's kingdom, the wonder of his wisdom. And oh, that men would come and sit at the feet of Christ to hear his wisdom today. How does it come? Where do we find the wisdom of Christ today? What is that appointed means whereby Christ has called men to himself to come and to sit at his feet? Where do we behold the glory of Christ today? Well, we behold it specifically in his ordinances. We behold it specifically in his worship. Yes, there are private aspects of that worship. There are secret aspects of that worship. And then there are public and covenantal aspects of that worship. And in all three, men ought to seek Christ. Ladies, I'm not leaving you out when I say men. It's an old-fashioned way of speaking, I know, today. More properly today, we say people ought to seek Christ. And so that's the thesis of the chapter, that it's Sheba and it's Hiram of Tyre, and it's the kings of all the earth. Of course, that represents the day when Christ would be, when that kingdom of God would be open to all the kingdoms and tribes and tongues of the earth, and the riches of the Gentiles will flow into the church. The church is that kingdom of our Lord Jesus Christ. Let me just apply one brief thing and then we'll move on. And as a pastor, I can tell you this is one of the saddest things. This is a very difficult thing that I see as a pastor. And so I just want to relate this to you to help you, I hope. Notice what is said of the Queen of Sheba. It is so very rare among people today The Queen of Sheba, when she communed with Solomon, what is said about that communion that she had with King Solomon? She told him all that was in her heart. I do have folks come to me from time to time, from this congregation or elsewhere, to ask for advice, to seek perhaps the wisdom of the Scriptures upon a particular problem or difficulty, or just simple direction that they'd like to understand better. It happens. And not just here it happens. It happens probably in every church where there is some advice and counsel that is sought. Notice what the Queen of Sheba did. She came and communed with Solomon all that was in her heart. So often, that advice is sought on so very little. There is no communion of all that is in one's heart. We reserve. We hold back. And that, I think, pridefully so. I think we're so afraid of being embarrassed by something that we might say that we don't say what we ought in such situations. We're so afraid of appearing ignorant, uninformed maybe even sometimes sinful, that we don't really come out with it. We don't want to really come forth and make this full and free confession that the Queen of Sheba made with Solomon. She communed with him with all that was in her heart. Now, there's a word here to those who would come to commune with those who might offer them some advice from the Scriptures. There's also a word to those who would hear. Those who might be in that position of authority to hear. And that is that they must be good hearers. They must be good hearers and ease the way for those to come and to commune. If Solomon were rough, if she were roughly handled by Solomon when she was bearing her heart, you think she would have gone on? No. So there is a word to those who would come to seek the wisdom of Christ, and there is also a word to those who would hear those who come, that there must be good, loving, open communication instead of holding back in pride and roughness. The Queen of Sheba communed with Solomon with all that was in her heart. She found a ready ear and great wisdom, and it took her breath away. So we ought to find the same with one another. All right, well, there's so much more to be said in that chapter, but let's stand and continue praising God.